All right, might as well crack on. Should we get going? All right. Hi, guys. I don't know why you're in here. There's probably a better place to be. So we'll whiz through this and go to the pub. Okay, we're going to do some like pipeline-y type stuff, ODT and Solr. This is basically just me working through a real-world example of some stuff we're doing at JPL at the moment with various NASA technologies and some Apache stuff that sort of bolts the thing together. So, quick one about me. My name's Tom. I do DevOps and Java at NASA JPL. Before that, I was a open source BI guy. And the reason we're talking about ODT, which no one in here will have heard of, I'm pretty sure, is because I'm the project chair, so it is my duty to like try and raise some awareness about these projects. So that's what I do. I turn up at conferences and talk about ODT stuff. So I will do a quick straw poll. Anyone heard of ODT? Well, you have, because I talk to you about it occasionally. Apart from that, that doesn't count. Okay, so OODT, it originated from NASA a few years ago. It's an Apache top-level project. It is, according to the wiki, so this is ripped from the wiki, OODT is middleware for metadata. It provides resource and data discovery type bits and pieces. It's both a bit of software and a software architecture. It's not supposed to be like a finished product. You know, you build your solution off of it. You know, and so its original purpose was for NASA-based projects. So, you know, NASA have a bunch of different satellites, all use different protocols and communications. They have a bunch of different systems which involve data coming down, going to different developers, different data scientists, different processing centers, all that type of stuff. And until OODT existed, they all used to be one of a kind, bespoke products that just dealt with that satellite's worth of data. And that's clearly not the most effective way of doing data communication and transport around an organization. This is NASA, though, so it's hardly a surprise. They're not exactly at the forefront of technology half the time. So for those of you who aren't like PhD scientists, OODT is a data processing Swiss Army knife from NASA. It basically has a file ingester and curator engine. And then off the back of that, you've got workflows, resources, and the ability to search for your data. So I put Solr in the title because we were going to add some Solr into the mix. So this project we're working on, by default, OODT will use a Lucene index at the back. Anyone who uses Lucene will know that whilst it's easy enough to get stuff in, getting stuff back out in a way that's accessible for mortals is not necessarily the most straightforward thing. But Solr obviously allows you to do a load of cool stuff. So Solr is a highly reliable and scalable fault tolerant, providing distributed indexing, replication, load balancing, querying, automated failover and recovery, centralized configuration, and more. Possibly needs a bit more punctuation, but you know, Solr allows us to provide enterprise search to end users off the back of the metadata stuff that we ingest via OODT. And yes, I stole that from their website. So the project at NASA, what problems were we trying to solve? You know, we were looking at this project we're working on is a genomic search platform. You know, we're trying to provide search and discovery for data scientists who are interested in genomics and genome data science. And so genomics, catalogs, and data products are huge. You know, the standard size is like for a single one of these projects, like a terabyte, they go bigger. Some of them are smaller, but there's also a lot of them. You know, we're sequencing, I have no idea about genomics. So the genomics guys are sequencing large volumes of data. And so that wants to get stored, archived, and also, you know, a way for people to be able to find that stuff. It's all well and good being able to chuck your data into a storage pool. But being able to allow data scientists the ability to get that information back is obviously key to something that we're trying to build. We also want to be able to post-process that data. And we need to make it simple. You know, scientists, I'll remove the word data. Scientists aren't necessarily the most computer literate bunch in the world. They know how to do clever stuff, much cleverer than stuff I know, but they don't necessarily know how to find what they're looking for. And so, you know, what we're trying to build is the ability for them to retrieve their data in a way that is easy for them to be able to, you know, look for stuff and make it intuitive. Which, again, is a problem, isn't it? In technology, we don't necessarily make stuff in an intuitive manner. You know, an awful lot of the Apache stuff is bare bones, and then you have to build stuff over the top of it. You know, so that's what we're sort of trying to achieve. So, like I said, data research projects can get to around a terabyte and more. We want them stored centrally. You know, there's the project we were working on, they were doing an awful lot of distributed computing, and people tend to keep their results and their data projects like on their laptops or on a server under their desk. You know, that's fine for that single user, but what we also want is the ability for them to be able to crowdsource the research. Instead of having multiple versions of the same project in different places, you know, we want them to be able to use the same data across the company, you know, in a way that will allow them to, you know, combine results effectively. And so, you know, we will end up using OODT File Manager to ingest and archive that stuff. So, as no one's heard of OODT, here's a boring OODT screenshot. You know, we've got a bunch of stuff that's ingested, we've got the transfer status if it's huge, we've got references and metadata and that type of stuff. You know, that's OpsUI, and that will tell us what's inside our catalog at a given point in time. But it's still not ideal for end users. You know, it doesn't allow them to search particularly well. It's not very intuitive. It's got big, long names of nonsense that only a few people would understand. You know, it's not, you know, what we're looking for as a finished product. And my wireless has gone offline. And this is on the internet. Bear with me. You could guarantee that was going to happen, wouldn't you? There we go. It's all right. I'm back. Yeah, my laptop just decided to switch itself off. There we go. Yay, next page. Okay, so the other thing as well is the companies we work with, you know, they have an awful lot of third-party software that isn't necessarily open source. It can be proprietary stuff. You know, we need APIs that allow us to both get data into the platform and back out of it, which will allow for other tools to be able to do discovery, export, analysis of the data that we're ingesting, you know, and so having predefined and well-known APIs obviously allow us to do that. So one of the things, you know, the OODT file manager has an API that allows us to extract stuff in the same manner, but similarly, Solr, you know, as an end user, an end tool, it's very easy to write Solr queries and look for the stuff that you want within Solr. And so using both of these allows us to interrogate the data that we've ingested and find you know, interesting traits within the data just by firing queries off in a web browser or via a, you know, script that does that for us. So one of the things about OODT is, okay, so I come from a business intelligence background. And so for years, we dealt with staging areas that are pretty dumb. You know, staging areas and data lakes, as they like to be called these days, are not necessarily the most clever way of being able to store your data. You know, you put a lot of data in, and when it goes in there at first, you probably know exactly what's gone in. But, you know, 4 years down the line, knowing what data's in your storage pool may, you know, whoever put it in there may have left. You may not understand what the data is. The file and folder format may have changed, you know, so it's not necessarily the best way of being able to archive your data. So being able to use OODT for the ingestion process allows us to extend the metadata and extract information from those files that are going in to allow us to improve data discovery when you're comparing it to, you know, how many times do I run find on my Linux system to try and find some stuff, or grep because I know there's a keyword in a file somewhere. You know, there's far better ways of doing that. So, boring Solr screenshot, but you know, what Solr allows us to do is very quickly, should we want to, with a web UI, interrogate what's inside our OODT catalog in a way that allows us to extract that. And, you know, we can obviously dump that type of thing into a web UI really quickly and succinctly to show this information to end users. It's got various bits of ODT information that's useful for that. It's got descriptions. It's got bits and pieces that it's extracted from the file when you're ingesting it. So who knows Tika? A few hands, yeah. So some people know Tika. Tika is used an awful lot in the back of ODT. So let's say when you create a Word document, every Word document's got the author embedded in it. It's got when it was last edited embedded in it, the creation date. That's all embedded with metadata in the file, plus a load of other stuff, you know, the locale it was created and all that type of thing. Tika, when you pass records with it, will extract that metadata. It will also extract the text from the doc file if you really want it to, and allow you to store it as metadata. And so when you combine OODT and Tika together, there's a powerful metadata extraction layer there that allows you to extract all this information and store it in Solr in our case. And the same can be done, obviously, for images, VEXIF data, and so on and so on. So once we've got the data in, there's also a demand for the post-processing of data. You know, there's an awful lot of data that comes in a very static format, doesn't have very, very much information with it, you know, maybe the project name and a couple of other bits and pieces, but it's not very conducive to being able to find or make use of the data that you've ingested. So the post-processing of data obviously allows us to run ETL, not necessarily over the file itself, because the files have been curated by some person who already knows what they're doing. But what we want to be able to do is post-process the metadata that's coming in and enrich that data with maybe stuff coming from a different location, new data points looked up over a different API, or just triggering notifications, alerts, that type of thing on the ingestion. So the pipelines that we built at JPL currently for this project we're working on, they're currently cron-based, but we're probably going to go to a triggering mechanism that runs off the back of the workflow. But you know, the information that is ingest, so users ingest data. When that data is ingested, it's then matched up against different applications to find out more information. You know, web lookup, web search is quite a powerful tool these days for medical research, because there's an awful lot of open data, medical data on the web. We extract the data that's coming in OODT directly into Solr for search by FacetView and Banana, and there's a few Python ETL scripts to sort of transform some of the metadata. So the stack we built, in a very simplistic term, is file curator, file manager, which obviously looks after the files themselves. Sorry for people I'm stood in the way. This ETL blocks, and so the ETL is a pipeline that we built off the back of it. It's not necessarily something in ODT specific, or in Solr for that matter. But you can sort of see how the data flows, obviously. The storage pool is where the files themselves actually end up. The metadata itself ends up in the Solr index, along with a bunch of other stuff. The ETL flow itself, you know, we have newly imported documents coming in. We then sort of enrich it. So this, you know, is going up to a bunch of different APIs that are available on the web, to other applications that we run within the platform itself. You know, we can find out an awful lot of different information just by asking Wikipedia these days, you know, to a certain degree. We then re-ingest that information back into the file manager, update Solr, and then we can dump all that stuff to XML and a few other bits and pieces. So obviously, we need a way for our end users to be able to get access to this data, and running a Solr query against a JSON endpoint isn't necessarily the best way for them to be able to do it. And so we've added FacetView over the top of Solr for a couple of different use cases, which is both part for the ingestion process and also part about just finding information about what we've ingested into the platform. So this will now have logged me out, I suspect. Oh no, look at that. So here we go. Here's a quick run through of what we built. So like I said, OODT is very much a Swiss Army knife. It's a way for us to be able to build data processing applications and build out data processing applications. So all this is still in flux as well. So bits and pieces look really bad and bits and pieces don't work, but we'll go for it. So metadata operations. So this is the curator. So this isn't currently in OODT, but we're going to push it back upstream as soon as we can. It's in our fork. We just haven't actually managed to get it sort of cleaned up and ready to ship yet. But what basically happens is it allows users to ingest, in this case, biomedical research files into the file manager without actually having to understand what they're doing. So, you know, as a user, they can select a couple of files. Depending on what they select, it'll run a metadata extractor against it. And so this metadata extractor might run Tika, it might run a bash script, it does something that allows it to discover information about whatever they've selected. So, you know, I select an XLSX file, it might extract metadata that explains to me who that creator was and what the purpose of it, that file existing in the first place was. What then that happens is it populates this middle box. And what the data scientist can then do, is obviously extend and modify the different files and metadata fields that are associated with that file itself. And so, you know, we extract what we can do automatically, and then it obviously allows them to fill it in even further, you know, so in 6 months' time, then they can then look up by a certain compound or protocol number. You know, that's the type of thing that we can't extract on the fly yet, but we're sort of heading that way. But in the meantime, obviously, they can just fill this stuff in. When they're happy with that, they can hit the ingest button. And then what happens on the back end is this tells the curator to then go and trigger an ingestion action in OODT and ingest these files. And basically, that just takes it from this staging area, dumps it into whatever our target folder is or folder structure, and then updates the catalog, the solar catalog, with the information that's been processed. And so from that point on, users have the ability to be able to find their data within OODT. So going back to that really bad screenshot of OODT that I showed earlier, here it is, probably break. So depending on what type of file I've ingested, let me make that a bit bigger, a bit to see. Depending on what type of file I've ingested, it will get sucked up into a specific product type. So a product type could be just some arbitrary way of being able to categorize files that you ingested into your system. But, you know, what it allows people to do is be able to find stuff by a certain type. So, you know, I've got a bunch of process files. So if you click on there, can't see very much. Down here are the different files. What should then happen if it stays online? Yeah, so those details that we're looking at first in Solr and then in that second column within the curator itself, these are the metadata fields that have been ingested into the platform and now become effectively a search facet. You know, they provide a way for our users now to be able to find this information on a large scale. So we're ingesting, you know, terabytes worth of data, but at the same time, we're extracting this metadata that just allows us to keep on looking. You know, if we ingest over the course of a decade a bunch of information in the same data asset, same project, you know, we can then go back and look for it at any point in time and find everything that's all been ingested file-wise within that information. Scooting back up. So once that data's in there, you know, so we've had our curators ingest the data. You know, what we want then is the ability for the actual scientists to go and look for stuff and find things. So study search and data asset search, they're basically slightly tweaked versions of Facet View that will allow us to run catalog-wide search over the top of everything we ingest into the platform. So depending on what a user is interested in, obviously, you know, there's a bunch of stuff on the front page. Zoom in again. And then a bunch of facets down the left-hand side that allow them to narrow down their search. And it's, you know, what this allows them to do is, at a high level, obviously, visualize what's been ingested into the platform, along with descriptions, data asset numbers, all this type of stuff is available to, you know, non-tech-savvy scientists quickly and easily. You know, all the publications that's been associated with, and so on and so on. And they can also get snapshots of the data. So up here in the samples, if it works, there you go. So, you know, it's not necessarily just showing the metadata. You can extend this type of stuff to start extracting data from the actual platform itself and give people, give end users the ability to sort of visualize what's been ingested into it. And it obviously links off that as well. So it becomes more expressive. It allows you to run bigger queries to get further down and find out more information. You know, and so we've gone from ingesting flat files with little extra information to being able to process that data and then, you know, hand it back to end users in a way that makes sense and allows them to find out more information about what they're researching. And then, so the other ones on there, LabKey, ShangriDocs, I will get onto in a minute. And then, you know, we've got study analytics and bits and pieces like that, which are Banana, which just allow users to obviously see some stats. So this project is still very much under development. It's nowhere near finished. So, you know, where are we going to go from here? So, you know, this is the world of big data these days. And so currently our file manager will back onto a bunch of places, but generally speaking, it will put your data into a directory. One of the things we're going to do is extend it to allow ODT to push stuff directly into HDFS. You know, off the back of that, we can then extend the workflows to be able to run Hadoop jobs of some sort, either Spark or, you know, MapR if people are that way inclined, and obviously trigger the pipelines. So, ShangriDocs. What on earth is ShangriDocs? Okay, so it's a document research tool that's currently for the biomedical domain, but that's only because that's where Chris Mettman decided to sort of divert his attention. So, Chris Mettman is the guy that helped found OODT to start with. For those of you who aren't in the Apache Foundation, he's also one of the directors. And generally quite a loudmouth NASA employee. ShangriDocs is powered by Tika, and Apache CTakes. And Apache CTakes is for clinical record analysis. And so ShangriDocs itself, it allows you to upload text files, images, bits and pieces to it. Textual data is then extracted by Tika. CTakes then takes this information and then allows you to extract far, far more information from a bunch of public record archives. And it'll also allow us to, on our project, you know, search our own internal index for more information. You know, so it's this cyclical thing that we're trying to get to that allows it to search both externally and externally to find more information, because knowledge is key. So flipping back here. Here's one I prepared earlier because it takes a couple of seconds to run. So this is still, again, under development. This currently isn't in the ASF, but Chris has vowed to push it up as an incubator project at some point. So this is cool. So Tika obviously has an awful lot of use extracting metadata. It's used both here. It's used by DARPA for searching the dark web for thieves and criminals. But, you know, obviously has a bunch of different use cases. But what we've done here is I chucked a Word doc at it earlier. And so Tika has extracted the text in the Word doc. We're not interested in metadata for a change. We're just interested in the content itself. Then CTakes has run over the top of it and tokenized the content. So, you know, it's pulled out bits and pieces that it's interested in and colorized them depending on the likelihood of various bits and pieces being the case. Then what ShangriDocs allows me to do is, if I'm interested in a certain piece of information, although that being said, because I dropped offline, it's not going to allow me to do it. Oh, there you go. I can then search through the document for different bits and pieces, and down the left, down the right-hand side here, you can see how earlier on I ran a search, and it's, you know, it's gone looking through the archives for whatever I searched for. And from that, female genital mutilation, excellent. I could possibly have picked a better one. Let's try that one. There we go. Okay, so from that, you know, it allows me to search a bunch of public archives and return yet more information. So if I was a user, I could then click on view details. It will take me to wherever and allow me to find out more information about what I'm looking for. And so, you know, this combined with ODT and Solr just allows our data scientists to start searching in ways that weren't necessarily possible before. They were possible, clearly. This stuff is all in the public domain. It's an awful lot more automated and takes an awful lot of the manual labor out. So how do you get started if you're completely insane and want to try and do something like this? ODT, obviously, is an Apache project. We have a build tool called Radix. Radix is a Mavenized way to be able to build ODT. Use it if you're interested, because it's an awful lot quicker to get started than trying to actually just like stand up the bits and pieces. Deploy Solr, and then start ingesting some data. It's pretty straightforward. And so if you're interested further, odt.apache.org, Lucene, Tika, Ctakes, and Django Docs is down there. There we go. Let's go to the pub. Which tools?
So you
described
two, right?
ODT?
No, general tools that you build for medical research and like the first one.
You've confused me now. Name something.
But like,
let me scoot back through.
When was the first one that allowed you to ingest the data and then use the ODT to extract metadata and search?
So this really simple web UI. So okay, this one here.
So that's a service, right? That
provides
for some users, which are scientists in some organizations, right?
Yeah, so ODT, if you stand up ODT like it currently exists, this doesn't exist, but this will exist soon. We're pushing this back up. So ODT by standard ODT, I guess, hold on, will give you OpsUI. So OpsUI will exist, and then you've got like the file manager CLI that allow you to push products to it. It's also got something called the crawler, which if you just say, go and keep checking this directory, then go and do it. It doesn't yet have this web-based, it does sort of, but it sucks, curator. Yeah, but it's already back in our sort of private ODT fork. It's just like bug cleaning and stuff. Oh, here it is. I think it does actually exist, if it works. Yeah, so this is the current sort of curator tool, and you would have stuff here, and you have stuff here, and you just chuck it over there, and that's basically how it works. But it's very dumb and doesn't allow people to like modify the metadata when it's being processed. So, you know, this one still needs some work, and it also needs cleaning up and making it a bit more sane. But, you know, like the ones here in red are where we've got a custom validation tool class running over the top to make sure that, you know, stuff that's been ingested can't be ingested twice, make sure the file names are sane, the folder path for this is specific, so make sure that it's not, they're not, you know, scientists aren't just making up names, that type of thing.
Right, so you use these tools to build a collaborative, curatable search engine.
Yeah.
For some organizations, right?
Yes.
So particularly NASA is an example.
Yeah.
So how many users inside NASA use this tool? Is it like hundreds?
Yeah, so currently, like, the curator people, so this is why it's split up into two. So, like, if you, hold on, go back to this one. It's sort of split up, so this is why there's the three columns. So the redder operations, the middle one, there's, like, 10, 15 curators of the data. You know, the guys that get the data, make sure it's formatted correctly, make sure it's sane. Yeah. So there aren't very many of those. The actual study search, LabKey and ShangriDocs, we're talking currently somewhere around 500. It's going to increase up to a couple of thousand sort of early next year with different partners come on board, that type of thing. And so also, you know, this is like our first shot at the tooling as well, so we're going to add some more tools to it as well. And, you know, we need to make sure we get the data sane and get the search package right first before we, like, just so go wild, boys. But one of the things we did do with OODT as well is the stock OODT distribution will ship with Solar 4. Solar 4 is like the dark ages. And so it's now, we update it to Solar 6. So, you know, as we have more people come on board and the catalogs expand and the usage expands, you know, that will also give us the scale out capacity as well, which is something that we were looking at with OODT Solar versus OODT and Lucene. Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the only thing in this, like, I wouldn't, this will never get shipped outside of our project because it makes no sense. But the only thing in here that is specific to the domain that we work in is this extractor, and that extractor just runs over our specific data files and extracts the right type of metadata. You, as a different company, would have a different extractor that extracts different metadata depending on what you're ingesting, or if a different NASA project, you know, if we're doing satellite imaging, you wouldn't have that extractor. You would have, you know, a satellite image extractor that extracts different metadata. And so from that, you know, we can pretty much stand up any type of data search and ingestion platform off the back of that. You know, and obviously going forward with the Hadoop stuff and that type of thing, you know, it will then make it uniformly big data. The extractor, so yeah, depending, this extractor defines this load of metadata fields, and then if you had like a bunch of different extractors registered, those metadata fields change. I don't think I've got any, I haven't got any of those registered, but if you had different ones registered, then that would update to show you different fields depending on what type of file you're ingesting. So, yeah. No, because currently there's no HDFS stuff implemented there at all. So the extractor themselves and the metadata fields that are available are defined within OODT, and then from that deferred to the UI and various other places. Anyone else? Was it pub o'clock? Pub o'clock, excellent.